to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Reign of Jehoram, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 21, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Jehoshaphat, we remember, was a good king. The son of Amaziah, he had initiated even further spiritual reforms. He had sought the Lord for help and for strength during his reign. He had experienced the power of God and the deliverance of God from the enemies. The kingdom was strengthened, the kingdom was blessed under his reign. However, Jehoshaphat had a strange fascination to observe evil, and on several occasions would go to the northern kingdom, befriended Ahab, that horribly wicked king of Israel, and pledged himself to support Ahab. The prophet of God rebuked him for this alliance, and yet he persisted in it. And at the death of Ahab, he continued this relationship with the northern kingdom through the equally wicked son of Ahab, Ahaziah. And again, the Lord spoke to Jehoshaphat and told him that the joint ventures would be broken. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and yet that is exactly what Jehoshaphat sought to do. And so it was sort of a strange quirk of his personality. Though he was a good king, though he loved the Lord and led the people in the worship and service to God, still this drawing, inner drawing that he seemed to have towards evil as a observer. So Jehoshaphat, this good king, slept with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brothers, that is Jehoram, the sons of Jehoshaphat. And you might take a Bible dictionary or a good Bible concordance and look up the names that Jehoshaphat gave to his sons, because they are all really just very great names that signify the help of God, the strength of God, God being king, just good names. And their father, Jehoshaphat, gave to them great gifts of silver, of gold, precious things. And he placed them more or less as rulers over the walled or fenced cities of Judah. But the kingdom itself he gave to Jehoram because he was his firstborn. And it seems that there was a co-regency for a period of time, Jehoram reigning with his father Jehoshaphat. But when Jehoshaphat died and Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he first of all strengthened himself, and then he slew all of his brothers, or murdered his brothers with a sword, and also many of the princes of Israel. Jehoram, accompanying his father on these ventures north, seeing the evil and the wickedness that existed in the northern kingdom, being exposed to all of the licentiousness that was there, being a young teenager, was not able to handle it. And though his dad went, and though his dad observed these things, his son was destroyed by them. And his son fell in love with the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, the wicked rulers of the north, who had brought the nation of Israel to the lowest depths of moral depravity. His son falling in love with Athaliah, the daughter, when he was 17 years old, married her, or 17 or less. It was a marriage of just a teenage kid. They had their first child when he was 18 years old. But seeing these things, he was polluted by them. He had a fascination for them, as did his father, but his father only in observation, whereas Jehoram participated in the evils of the northern kingdom. He behaved himself as long as his father was alive. As soon as his father died, he gave himself over to the wickedness and the licentiousness that marked the northern kingdom. No doubt his wife had a bad effect upon him, being the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And under the reign of Jehoram, the nation of Judah began to sink, as was the nation of Israel. So Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 8 years in Jerusalem. A short reign. He died at the young age of 40. His death being quickened because of his evil lifestyle. Now we're told concerning him that he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Having observed the kings of Israel and their wickedness, he walked in their ways. For he had the daughter of Ahab as his wife. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He turned his back upon the Lord. Now, Jezebel had introduced to the northern kingdom the worship of Baal. And he also, following the model of his mother-in-law, introduced Baal worship in Jerusalem. In fact, they built a temple to Baal next to the temple that Solomon had built unto Jehovah. And they had set up priests of Baal there in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil as the kings of Israel. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David. He was a descendant of David. And because of that, God would not destroy the house of David. And you see, he had cut off all of his brothers. He had killed all of his brothers. And so he was the only one left of the house of David as far as descendancy from David on the throne. So the Lord would not destroy the house of David because he had made this covenant with David. And he promised to give a light to David and his sons to reign forever. Of course, that covenant that God made with David, David understood it to mean that from David, the great king, the Messiah, would reign over Israel, and that the Messiah would then be a descendant of David, which indeed Jesus Christ was. And so he was spared only because of God's covenant that he made with David, not because he was righteous or deserving, but God honored his covenant. I am comforted by the fact that God honors his covenants. He is a faithful God who keeps covenant with his people. And even though the people often fail, as was the case here, a total failure on the part of Jehoram, and yet God remained faithful and true. I thank God for the covenant that he has made with me through Jesus Christ. For Jesus, when he took the cup, said, "This is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins." And I thank the Lord that he keeps that covenant, that my sins have been forgiven. And though I may not always be faithful, he is faithful. And he keeps his covenant with man. Now, because of the wickedness of Jehoram, because he turned his back upon the Lord, because he led the nation of Judah in a spiritual and moral decline, God allowed the enemies to be strengthened against them. And in his days, the Edomites rebelled from under the dominion of Judah. The Edomites have been brought and made a vassal state, but now they are beginning to rebel. And so he went down to crush the rebellion. However, he became surrounded by the Edomites. He fought his way out of the battle. God spared him. But from that time on, the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. They were never again brought under subjection to Judah. And also at the same time did Libna revolt from under his hand. And the reason being because he had forsaken Jehovah, the God of his fathers. God had over and over again said to the kings of Israel, if you seek me, I will be found of you. If you forsake me, I will forsake you. We know that that is true today. I cannot walk away from God and the things of God and expect God to continue to give me his divine protection. I can move myself outside of the hand of God's protection. Jude, in writing his epistle, exhorts those to whom he is writing to keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in that place where God can protect you, where God can bless you, where God can show his love to you by doing for you the things he desires to do. It is possible for you to remove yourself from the place of God's blessing, the place of God's love. And as Jude points out, with the examples of the nation of Israel itself, who had experienced the deliverance of God from the bondage of Egypt, and yet never did enter into the full blessings of the promised land because of their unbelief. And some of you have been delivered from the bondage of sin, but you haven't entered into the full blessings of that walk in the Spirit. You've come short of all that God is wanting to do for you. You haven't entered into that fullness. You haven't kept yourself in that place where God can do for you the things he wants to do for you because of his love. You haven't kept yourself in the love of God. God still loves you, of course. But you're not receiving the full benefits of that love. And then he pointed out the angels who had once dwelt in the very presence of God, but they kept not their first estate and are now reserved in the chains of darkness awaiting the days of judgment because they rebelled against God. Satan lifted up with pride, rebelling against God. Beware of pride. It can separate you from the place of blessing. God can't do for you those things he desires to do when pride masters your life. And then those of Sodom and Gomorrah were given as an example, who failed to keep themselves in the love of God, enjoying the beautiful natural advantages of the city of Sodom there in the plains of Jordan. And yet failing to keep themselves in the love of God were destroyed by the fire and the brimstone that came from heaven. And we are told it was their lust that removed them from the place. Giving themselves over to their lust, they removed themselves from the place of blessing. And then Cain is an example of one who failed to keep himself in the love of God. The hatred that filled his heart. And from the hatred, the murder of his brother Abel. And then he gives us the example of Balaam, who was greedy for the rewards that the king had offered for his advice in cursing the people. And he allowed greed to master him, and thus missed the place of God's blessing. And finally, Korah, jealousy filling his heart, also missed out on God's blessings. And so the warning, keep yourself in the love of God. As you do, God will watch over you. God will protect you. God will bless you. He'll do for you all of those loving things he wants to do for you. But it's possible for you to forsake the way of the Lord and put yourself outside of the place of blessing. And calamity will begin to strike your life. And calamity began to strike against Jehoram. First of all, in the rebellion of Edom, then followed by Libna. Then we're told further of his sins, verse 11. You know, God sometimes allows these things to happen to cause us to turn back to him. And a lot of times when God is beginning to chastise us, we realize our failure, we turn back to God, we repent, we ask forgiveness, and we come back into that place of blessing. But others only rebel further. They stiffen up. God gives us the opportunities to turn. God gives us the opportunities to come back. We don't always take them. And some people become bitter when God begins to deal with their lives. And others become better. It all depends on my attitude towards that dealing of God with me. Whether I resent it, whether I rebel against it, become bitter and go further into evil, or whether I come back to the Lord. Now, the purposes of God are to draw me back, to awaken me to my condition, to draw me back. But Jehoram only became worse after this rebellion. Then he made high places in the mountains of Judah, that is, for pagan worship. He caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication. That would be spiritual fornication, setting up idolatry. And as we mentioned, the temple for Baal right there in Jerusalem. And he compelled Judah, ordered them to worship these pagan deities. And so there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet. Now, there is some difficulty here in the minds of some. It can be explained in many different ways. Because from the account of Kings, it would appear that Elijah was dead before he had taken the throne completely. But as we mentioned, the fact that he was a co-regent to his father, Elijah died during the lifetime of his father, but the fact that he was a co-regent with his father, this letter, at this point, would appear to be after the death of Elijah, or not the death, Elijah did not see death, but was translated into heaven. But it would appear historically after that time. Now, this causes trouble to some of the critics of the Bible. But the fact that he was able to speak to him of his wickedness and of what he was going to do and of what God was going to do to judge him. But you remember when Elijah was in Mount Horeb having run from Jezebel, that wicked woman we've been talking about. So we're in the general period of history here. But you remember when Elijah was running from Jezebel, that the Lord spoke to him down there in the cave at Mount Horeb. And he said to him, get up to Syria and anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. And so Elijah went up and he met Hazael and he began to stare at him until it was embarrassing. And then he began to weep. And Hazael said, what's wrong? And he said, I'm weeping over the horrible things you're going to do. For you're going to murder your master. And then you're going to shed the blood of the children of Israel. The babies you're going to slaughter. And Elijah was predicting the future evil reign of Hazael before he was ever king.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the prophecy of Elijah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And now may the Spirit of God teach you all things and bring to your remembrance those things that He has commanded us. You remember to just love God and believe on Jesus Christ. And may the love of Christ be perfected in your life. May it increase and may it grow. And may God help you to maintain the proper perspective in the world, but not of the world. Your every touch as light as possible, because the world is going to pass away and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. God help us to be interested and occupied with the things that are eternal. In Jesus' name.
Every Christian woman has a calling upon her life. If you're in the workplace Monday through Friday, you have a ministry. If you're a wife or a mother, you too have a calling. Or if you simply are going to school, you have a ministry. The question is, have you laid hold of what God has called you to do? Or let me ask you this, are you sure you know what your calling is? Well, ladies, I have a special surprise for you. The Word for Today is making available the When Leaders Lead Women's Conference on DVD with a bonus MP3 that has over 40 messages to assist women to discover God's call and then to equip, teach, and encourage them to minister the gospel to others. Topics include how to witness to loved ones, balancing ministry and motherhood, coping with conflict, counseling with compassion, discipling others, and knowing the Lord's will. There are even messages geared to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and teaching a Bible study. To find out more, call The Word for Today at 714-825-WORD or contact them online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.